check, check. Perfect. 1, 2. Oh,
okay. Awesome. 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 All right. How about we start with something a little light, little icebreakery. It's not really a word, but I'm going to coin that word now. Icebreakery. because, and I want to start with this only because I know how much it means to you, Yaya, that you got to mark off something off your music bucket list most recently. Do you mind telling us what that was?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I got to go to Red Rock Amphitheater in Colorado. And it's anyone who knows about venues, it's probably one of the most dreamiest venues in the whole entire world, honestly. It's in the mountains, literally in Red Rocks. I don't know how many rows it is. I think I saw it had over 60 rows.
Damn.
You get a little dizzy for sure, so be smart about being there. But what I loved about it is that, first of all, we went to a reggae festival. We got to see Revolution, and not just that, a family of deers welcomed us.
Damn, okay? Bambi.
Literally, Bambi and her mom and sister and cousins came through, said hi to us. I wasn't tripping. It was real.
Yeah. It sounded like a Disney-like moment.
No, it really was. And then we go in, and like everyone's hanging out, and it's nothing but vendors in the beginning, like bars and all that. And then you walk down, and you see like the sea of the theater, and then you see Denver like behind it, like the city. It's just so beautiful.
And is it cut into the actual rock?
Like, yeah, it is. You're even literally the rose? Well, I don't know if the rose, but yeah, I want to say the rose are.
Yeah.
And then when the moon came up, it was a full moon, and it was a golden full moon. On top of that, it wasn't just a regular full moon, it was a golden full moon coming over the city of Denver while Revolution is playing, and you're just want to hug everybody. I don't know how many times I told Tony, like, friend, this is so beautiful. Like,
seriously. I imagine it's also probably the smokiest venue you've ever been to.
I didn't want to talk about it, but you know what I'm saying? If you want to check out my Instagram and look at the last picture, yeah, you'll see how it started and how it ended.
No, that sounds lovely. I was really happy to see you got to experience that. And I guess Red Rocks is maybe a subconscious like goal of mine too. Because when I saw a lot of photos I've seen, it looks smaller. But it wasn't until I saw your videos, I was like, oh no, that looks like a legit like amphitheater style.
So at one point, I walked down because I wanted to, you know, be theater. Because it's open, so you can sit anywhere. But be smart. Because one, if you're not used to that altitude, you are going to get fatigued. Mm-hmm. So walking down is easy. Walking up, and then if you're smoking, like it's definitely even a harder mission.
Yeah.
But I did want to go down so you could see. And it's a sea of people and just rows and rows of people. And it's a lot bigger than what you said. It's a lot bigger than... It's the biggest amphitheater I've ever been to.
That's cool. Damn. Okay. Freddie, you want to chime in on this? Because you was there front row as well.
I was. I was also, as Yaya said, started out one way and ended another. But
he had a spiritual journey. That's what we're going to say.
Yes, a whole spiritual journey. But even the main thing for that venue was obviously the view, and the acoustics were crazy.
Mm.
Like hearing that band and that venue was crazy.
That's interesting. You would think like since it's open and outdoors that it's not, you know.
Because the sounds are bouncing off the mountains.
Yes.
Okay. It was so dope. And you almost engulfed in the experience. It was amazing.
That's dope.
Damn. If you could go back and see another act, knowing what you know about the acoustics and the overall vibe, who do you think would be a perfect show to go see?
To me, just because I want to see her in person and I know how much she dedicates to her music and all that, and I'm going to mess up her name because I always do and it's not on purpose. Janelle Monáe? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe. Okay.
Yeah, because she is all about instruments and she does the acoustic style and she brings in orchestra sometimes. Mm. So I would love to see her there and how the sounds would play off of the rocks.
That's a good pick.
For me, it would be, because me and Tony talked about it, I remember. It would be your favorite neo-soul artist, Sade.
Come on.
I would love to see Sade.
The OG neo-soul. Like,
yeah, right? I was going to say, the originator of neo-soul.
That's cool. James, have you ever been to Red Rocks?
No, I've seen lots of photos and videos. It looks so beautiful, but
What would you say is the most interesting place or venue that you've ever experienced a concert or played in? Because I know you've done a lot of traveling and played in a lot of bands.
Yeah, I'm a bad person to answer this because I like grimy, dirty little bars.
Well, give us a grimy, dirty bar.
We're fans
of a hole in the wall spot.
Yeah, okay, cool. There's a spot in Columbia, South Carolina that's coming to mind called the New Brooklyn Tavern. And just like a little dive bar, but they care about the sound, you know, like the sound system is great for being like a 200 person room. They like treat bands and people right. They got a good menu. It's like the vibe is just perfect where they got backstage rooms. It feels like a real big venue, but it's like very, very intimate and cool, but still dirty and grimy.
Have you ever been to a venue that was too dirty and too grimy?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude.
And you don't have to throw the venue underneath the bus if you don't want to, but what can you tell? Where was it at least?
Dude, man.
He's like, fuck it. It was a German prison. Old German prison.
Dude, if you're in a punk band and you tour Europe, there's like all these literal squats, you know, where like there was abandoned buildings and like punk kids and sort of like political refugees take over the spot. And it's all like in a cool, positive way. Sometimes it's huge, huge, almost like skyscraper apartment buildings that they just take over, and they'll build a venue in the place, and they'll use the kitchen as make a little coffee shop or restaurant to like kind of get funds. It's all really cool and community oriented, but they are grimy as shit.
So you're saying don't eat there?
Yeah.
The food is definitely questionable at the very least.
Yeah,
cool. All right, how about we go ahead and get this thing started? Yo, spinheads, welcome to another episode of the Next Spin Podcast. I know it's been countless weeks now since our last episode, but we are back with another episode. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, Next Spin is a vinyl collective. We're based out of Jacksonville, Florida. We're comprised of five friends united by a love of music in the analog form and monthly themed vinyl meetups. Every month, we host different conversations about different music genres, and we talk about record collecting. So make sure to follow along on our Instagram at Next Spin. That's with two X's. XXX. Follow along on our Instagram. For the photos that we take during these by our boy Tony, the mastermind at that, as well as access to our weekly top five playlist that we post every Friday. This month's meetup is centered on the theme of soundtracks as selected by yours truly. With that said, before we get into the theme and whatnot, I do want to go ahead and introduce my co-host here with me, starting with my man on the left, the Don himself, Don Stefan, Adrian Ross is here with us.
I'll go ahead and snap it up for you, boy.
Snap it up. Oh, we snap it. Yeah, we're snapping crew. We're snapping crew.
Thank you very much.
Sharing a mic is the two best voices that we've got in the crew. We've got Freddie on the mic sharing with Yaya.
Yo. We still need to come up with our duo name, Yaya.
We really do.
Hopefully that comes. You know, I wanted to suggest something, but I want it to come out naturally. All right, I might drop it there.
Let it naturally percolate.
Nah, they're a duo. All right, and then like we've kind of been doing these last few episodes, you know, we go out and invite a special musical guest. So so far it's been DJ Nick Fresh. He's been on two episodes of our small growing five, as well as Michael. Well, you know what? We're carrying the tradition on with this episode, and we've got a special musical guest. He is a man who has played in and has probably been a part of more bands than I have podcasts, which is saying a lot because I feel like I run a lot of podcasts. But some of those bands include hardcore punk bands like Bane, Casey Jones, and a whole lot more. The man has a Discogs, if you're really interested in all of that, which I think is an awesome bragging right to have on a vinyl-based podcast. Am I right?
For sure.
But most importantly, our guest today is also responsible for taking a lot of money from each one of us in this room.
Yes.
His name is James Saboni, and he's the owner of Tiger Records, an independent record store and record label located here in Jacksonville, Florida. Spinheads, let's go ahead and welcome our friend James to the show. James, welcome to the Next Spin Podcast.
Thanks so much. That was a great intro. I appreciate it.
Much appreciated, man. James, I heard your interview on the Simpsons is Greater Than podcast. Shout outs to Warren, the man who's also responsible for our podcast logo. And if I'm to understand it, you started Tiger Records in what, 2019?
2019, yeah.
And according to that interview, you were partly inspired by the mini record shops you have visited while on the road touring. Was there any other catalyst or motivation to open the store?
not having a boss.
Hell yeah.
That's a good pro.
Dude, like a real angsty hatred of authority. I was touring a lot, going to record stores every day if I had time.
Hmm.
Really kind of figuring out what I liked and didn't like about a store and kind of visualizing what I thought a store that I would do would look like and feel like and be like. And then, I was playing in Bane. We broke up and we were lucky enough to be living off that band for the last few years. And then I was like, fuck, I can't get a job. I can't have a boss. And I had, a kind of a little crisis, and I had always had this record store idea in the back of my mind. And there was this, I was like, well, this is as good a time as any. I don't have a job to quit. There's like, I wasn't comfortable or secure in something to get trapped in. I was just like, I guess I'll just fucking do it. So yeah. I just did it. Yeah.
Well, in that same interview, you had mentioned being driven to create a quote unquote great store. And despite it being a risky business to get into, I mean, we're talking about a brick and mortar record store. I think among all of us, we could probably name a few that have unfortunately closed within the last 5 years, but that didn't stop you. You knew that if it was a great record store that it would survive. And I was curious, could you describe in your own words what makes Tyker Records a great record store?
Yeah, I think it's just got to have, it sounds kind of cheesy, but something for everyone, right? It's not just the most popular pop music, or it's not just the classic rock thing. And I think that most stores that I was visiting either was just brand new vinyl for brand new releases, which is cool, or just like older people just selling Beatles and Rolling Stones. Also cool, but it felt like, why can't it be a little bit more open? Why can't you have jazz records and punk records and goth records and funk records? And none of the stores I was going to none that I thought were great were doing that. And I was like, you gotta be wide. It can be curated and not a big store, but it's gotta be wide in its like appeal, I think.
I think another aspect of what makes Tyker Records such a good shop is that you have spent a lot of time, meticulous time, and planning on the branding too. I don't think there's a lot of, at least, ones here in town that focus and lean in on like the branding and having merchandise and working for like local artists to not only create like the artwork they use for the merch, but also, I mean, I know that you're also putting out like records on a record label through Tyker Records.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for noticing, dude.
Yeah. Look, I've spent enough money there to at least like be like, yo, why am I giving this dude all my money every time I come in here?
Yeah, I think that's kind of from the band thing too. You know, when you start a band, it's like starting a business. You need a good logo, you need a good name. And I do miss being more active in music, and I think it kind of scratches the itch. I like to used to design t-shirts for my bands and stuff, and it was born just from fun. Like, I thought it'd be fun to have cool merch. And it did kind of catch on, which was like a nice surprise that people have been like rocking it and supportive of it, but it really started just because I thought it would be fun.
And it's like, I think it's like, it's just a way for you to kind of express yourself artistically too, right?
Dude, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's how you tie it into the business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have all at one point, I think, sung the praises of Tyker Records, or have even gone to Tyker Records before one of our meetups and been like, yeah, I just picked this up at Tyker.
Yep.
So
I went today with my mom.
Yeah. All right. Well, James, we're glad you could join us today. And for anyone listening that lives in the Jacksonville area or is willing to make that drive, I definitely stop by Tyker Records in historic Five Points area. With that said, I want to go ahead and get back to talking about today's theme. I went ahead and chose favorite film soundtracks that you have on vinyl. So a part of it was a selfish choice in the sense of, I want to lean in on something that I already am collecting, so I ain't got to go buy some more records. And I've always been a fan of like specifically blaxploitation film soundtracks and rap soundtracks too. So I had plenty of those and I thought it'd make for an interesting theme. So let's start with Yaya and Freddie. What were your thoughts on the theme and how was it finding records for that? Did you already have an existing kind of collection or did you have to go out and find it?
Well, if you noticed on my Instagram, I have very few soundtracks available.
But you got a Scarface soundtrack, and I got to admit, that's pretty gangster.
I've pretty seen gangster. The movie 1,000 times, literally. So that was one. Like, I was playing earlier with Tony. I'm like singing along. I know all the ad-libs, guitarists. It's like 80s hard pop. But for this one, I didn't want to spend any money. So I was like, I'm going to rock with what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the question?
I think you actually
okay, cool. I think you might have answered. That was it.
But yeah, you said you picked one up today as well, right?
No, I didn't. I tried to. But because I did see the color purple, and I listened to it, and it was a cool record. It was actually purple and everything. But I wanted to get a soundtrack that actually, like what you said, identifies with me and like something that I love and would want to hear. Just I don't want to buy it just because it's a theme. So I have two today, and then I'll let Adrian play his little one today.
Yeah. Not just little. Yeah. I mean, he came through with a powerhouse.
I was looking for it at Tiger Records because I know they have it there.
That's where I got it.
But I think they already picked it out. So I was like, all right.
All of them.
That's what I'm saying. Well, let's go ahead and talk about, and Adrian, maybe you could take this one, but what was your first conscious exposure to like really viewing like soundtracks as in a serious light? Because right. I know for me personally, you know, it was like, well, it's a soundtrack. It's mainly probably just scores, maybe just instrumentation and whatnot. But what do you remember like your first conscious exposure to looking at a music soundtrack like, or a movie soundtrack in a more serious light?
Yeah, I do. So this may be a funny one, but Fantasia. Like, I remember, like, watching that, and it was so crazy because that was the first time where I was really, like, focused on the music as well as the movie. And I you know, I was a small kid when Fantasia came out, the original Fantasia with Mickey Mouse and stuff like that, or that when I saw it, anyways. And that was the first time I really paid attention to it. And then the next soundtrack that I remember was I think the Bourne Identity, the Bourne series. Like for the way that they scored it, I guess maybe it's not a soundtrack, but the way that they scored the movie, it just helped me to like appreciate the movie more too. Cause like you know, you feel the action scenes or the scenes in general just in a different way by appreciating the music too. So yeah, Fantasia was like the one that made me actually think about soundtracks in general. And then like another one that kind of sticks out to me is the Bourne Supremacy or the Bourne series.
I know a lot of people who will buy like the score soundtrack to like have on in the back to like, you know, whether they're studying or just doing something menial and they need some like background music. I know a lot of folks that use it for like concentration music.
I do. That's maybe why I gravitate to that. I mean, right now I was just, you know, studying for some stuff and that's what I put on. I put on like scores. Like I can't put music with words on it while I'm studying. Like for me, it has to be sounds, you know?
Well said.
Yeah.
James, do you remember, what's your earliest memory of enjoying a particular movie soundtrack? Like when you think of the theme, what's maybe a soundtrack that immediately comes to mind?
It's the Repo Man soundtrack. Do you guys remember that movie? It's because I was like insanely into punk, obsessive about punk music when I saw that movie. And that's like a punk, there's like tons of punk bands in that soundtrack. And at the time, I thought punk was like me and my friend's little thing that we had in our pocket, you know, super underground, super cool. And it's still, I mean, it is kind of underground and cool, but that's a regular movie with like an Estevez in it, you know? And it's like, it was just, it's like seeing somebody you know on television. It's like, oh shit. Like I know this song can be on a big screen, like a major movie. So good soundtrack.
That reminds me of my first kind of like exposure to what, I guess the seriousness of like, you know, a soundtrack could be really good was when I was first getting into like hip hop music in freshman year. I remember my buddy telling me like he was a big Tupac fan. And he always was like really into like having obscure like in underground tracks or things that just weren't always like publicly available. And he had this Tupac song called Pain, and it was on the Above the Rim soundtrack, but only the cassette version, which I thought was like very interesting. For the longest time, you could only get that song. If you had the cassette, you had that extra song, but it wouldn't make its way until it became like one of them internet kind of things, where it's like if you had the MP3, then, you know, you were really into like Tupac. But I think one of my earliest memories of like really enjoying a soundtrack was the 8 Mile soundtrack. But when you think, I look back at it, and I mean, granted, even in the moment, I mean, you know, of course you had Lose Yourself, which was the goddamn biggest song.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly. Like 2002. And if I'm being honest, that was like one of the first rap songs I learned and loved. Like I was way too into Lose Yourself. Like I would stare in the mirror. It was very cringeworthy. But I mean, when I look back at that soundtrack, it, you know, it has those really big songs by Eminem, Lose Yourself, the 8 Mile, the song itself. But you also had like 50 Cent Wangsta on it. Mm-hmm. Nas and Jay-Z was on that soundtrack, like during their beef as well. Like it was just a very interesting soundtrack. Freddie, Yanira, when you guys think about like maybe like key songs from your childhood or early adulthood that tie into soundtracks, do any kind of come to mind for you?
Yeah. So my first memory of a soundtrack that really stands out besides Grease, because you know, Grease and Footloose. And
Saturday Night Fever, I think, was also another
Footloose
big one.
And my mom, because my mom had a couple of soundtracks, believe it or not, from movies.
Okay.
So she had Footloose because she loved that movie. And she loved, oh my God, what's that other movie where she's a stripper at night and a construction worker during the day? The song Maniac. No, anyways, no. she loved that. So I grew up. But the first soundtrack that I really paid attention to, believe it or not, I was 7 years old, was Waiting to Exhale.
Okay.
That was a good soundtrack. It had Whitney Houston, yeah. Mary J. Blige, who it's one of my favorite Mary J. Blige's songs is on that album. It had Brandy in it. And just the movie itself was so impactful. And I remember my mom telling me, like, pay attention to this movie. Like, this is the kind of woman I want you to be, like, strong. And I remember at that time, we lived in Panama because I'm a Navy brat. We lived in Panama and we were buying CDs from album categories. And my mom would allow me to buy CDs. And that was one of the first CDs I bought. So
that's what's up.
Waiting to Exhale is definitely the first soundtrack that pops out in my head that I realized, like, is worth it.
And the song Maniac is by Michael Cimbello off the Bossa Nova Hotel.
But what's the movie?
Oh, let me, I'll look for that. Freddie, you about to say something?
Also, I throw out that vinyl for the Wait Next Hell is...
I was looking for it.
It's Flash Dancer.
Flash
the movie.
Dancer, duh. Yes. Duh. My mom has that soundtrack, so... But again, the one I realized was Waiting to Excel.
But yeah, like that Waiting to Excel one goes for like... I haven't seen it cheaper than $150.
Damn!
I believe it.
Sheesh.
But yeah. So for me... I mean, I thought someone was going to mention a Disney movie, but I guess I'll be that guy.
I mean, Fantasia.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Fantasia. Yeah. Fantasia, yeah. But for me, it was like all the Disney movies growing up, the Mulans, mm-hmm. the Aladdins, Little Mermaids.
Little Mermaid.
Now, is there any songs that bring any of you back to like a specific movie scene or moment, like where you just cannot disattach like the song from the scene?
For me... ironically, would be The Nutty Professor 2, the Janet Jackson joint.
Oh.
I like that song,
every time.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't know why, but Gangsta's Paradise is ringing off in my head right now.
Yes.
And it was a movie.
Dangerous Minds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that movie and that song are tied together for me.
I cannot help but think about Bad Boys 2 with Shake Your Tail Feather. Because I remember like
yeah, that's right.
That when that song like was fucking dominating, and it was like straight early freshman year, and my bus was always jumping when that song would come on, and I'm like, this is, and I was way too like backpack, I was like, this is, what, no way, mainstream. And looking back, it's like, nah, that was a fucking bop right there. Shake Your Tail Feather.
Mine would be, which is one that I bought, is from Grease, the movie Grease Lightning. For some reason, when the guys were doing their fixing the cars, and they were like, Grease Lightning, Grease Lightning. Yeah, that's one of my favorite, and I do the dance till this day. Yeah, like, so funny. Yeah.
One recently was, and this is a song that I ended up absolutely playing the fuck out, but Post Malone, Swae Lee, Sunflower.
Yes.
Off of Into the Spider-Verse. I think it's because Into the Spider-Verse was something so refreshing and unique. Like, I'd never seen that level of animation. And that was the first time I had heard of that. I think for a lot of people hearing that song, Sunflower, before radio played it to fucking death. Oh, yeah. But I remember like feeling like I was in a moment. I was like, this song is awesome. And this movie is blowing my mind. And after we left the movie, like we talked about the movie in the parking lot. Just so when we got in the car... it was back to back. I played that song all the way back home. So that's a recent memory of like a song that I cannot help but think about the movie.
Well, if we were talking about recent, it would have to be too. Black Panther for me. Especially the song with Kendrick Lamar and SZA, All of the Stars.
Yes.
Obsessed. Like, till this day is on my playlist. Like, I still play it on my like songs. That's a song that I really, really, really like. So. Mm.
James, what would you say, what elements do you think make for like a good soundtrack?
Dude, that's tricky because I think you can think about it a few different ways, right? One, it's just like that's stacked with bangers, like stacked with hits, or ones that really tie to the movie like we're talking about right now, where like, yeah, like Gangster's Paradise works with Dangerous Minds. Like that, they're made for each other, like holding hands, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think even more if you think about like scores that are like making tension or, you know, like different emotions they can make with scores. So I think it's tricky.
No, I'm with you right there with the scores. You know, I think a lot of the time, you know, the tempo of the music itself, it kind of just, it moves along with the action or with, you know, like if you're trying to, you got like a string that's just going for a long time just to build that, to weigh on that suspense, you know what I mean? To make it more visceral or whatever. So I don't know. I like soundtracks because, you know, it kind of carries you through and gives you that moment piece for you to remember. Like what you were saying with Sunflower, but like the scores too, like they're more like physical for me. It's weird. I don't know how else to explain it.
So like now that I'm going back into editing videos, I'm always cautious. I always look for that perfect song that goes with the vibe of the video, that goes with the cuts that I recorded, because I don't pick the song and then record the videos. I record my shots and then I'm like, I go through my playlist and I'm like, okay, what makes sense? For me, movies is the same way for me. Like, I love when movies have songs that specifically go with the scene that you remember, like, oh, this scene went with that. Like, Carlito's Way, they open with I Like It Like That, where, you know, they're having sex in the beginning and, like, the mother-in-law's on the other side and all you hear is like, I like it like that. That was the first time I ever heard that song in that crazy scene. And so I think that's what really makes a soundtrack special is when you remember not just it being a killer playlist of artists, but when you remember specific scenes with that song, you know, that's when it's a good soundtrack.
I agree. I'm right there, which I actually, and that's something I wrote was, you know, a good soundtrack has songs that bring you back to a specific scene in the movie or make you think of like the best elements or feelings of that movie. Like what was I feeling during that movie? And you know, I think a good soundtrack has songs that like remind you of that. I think because, you know, I enjoy especially like hip hop soundtracks a lot. I really like ones that feel like mixtapes or samplers, because I think, you know, with mixtapes still kind of being a weird kind of gray area and a lot of them aren't on streaming, that soundtracks sometimes serve as a good substitute for that. Because, for example, that 8 Mile soundtrack had songs from, you know, 50 Cent, Eminem, Nas, Jay-Z. So like, those have always been my favorite kind of soundtracks, especially like in the hip hop world, where it's like this is an opportunity for one producer for one person to play producer and pull like some of the best acts. So you're kind of getting like, you know, a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 for 1 deal, where it's like one album and it's got all of these artists and these songs that, and I think there's also like a cool factor to it, you know, as well too. I think a lot of music collect, especially vinyl collectors, kind of enjoy that sense of like, you know, but did you hear this song off this soundtrack? You know, like those kind of hidden gems. I think, you know, if you were to look at any soundtrack, there's probably a history of like hidden gems and songs that the public just aren't up to. And there's like, I don't know, there's like that special extra kind of cool appeal to it.
And not just movies, shows are doing a great job curating music. One of my favorite shows, Insecure, has one of the best music playlists ever.
Said. Like, well said. I think that is the modern that is the modern version of it now, where you've got shows that play good music. And I think Insecure's got a few soundtracks.
No, she specifically has song produced for Insecure. It. Yeah.
There's like one or two songs on Insecure that I'm still waiting to come out on streaming. And it makes me so fucking pissed.
But you know what, though? I mean, think about this, though. I mean, back in the 90s when hip hop wasn't as like global as it is now, like you had people like Beyonce and Destiny's Child putting out the theme music for the Proud Family. You know what I mean? Like,
Like
you had like pretty... like exclusive dope artists that we would consider like, wow, I can't believe they're making theme music right now.
You got like Macy Gray for that. What was that one show?
As Told by
Yeah.
Someone once told me the grass is... Yeah. Yeah, that... Yeah. Or TLC, all that, you know.
Yeah,
which, exactly. I mean, we could probably just do an episode about Nickelodeon being way ahead of the curve as far as cool shit.
Shout out to Nickelodeon for giving me my swag.
And Cartoon Network.
Nickelodeon, I think, collected a lot of their music in a vinyl. And Freddie, was I talking to you about like a Nickelodeon vinyl that was released and that shit's either expensive or gone?
I recall the Hey Arnold.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I was completely wrong on that, but I know it's expensive as hell.
How about we produce it with Tiger Records and all put all it
right.
out?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. I like that.
All right, let's do it.
Well, I wanted to get to actually talking about the albums and the records that we all brought. So if everyone wants to just go ahead and name the three albums they brought, and then if you've got any like interesting fact or maybe like a nice personal anecdote to share with it, feel free to. James, I'm going to start with you since you're our special guest this month. What three records did you end up bringing?
Cool. I brought Blow Up, which is a soundtrack that's like almost all Herbie Hancock.
Hmm.
And nice. Yeah, he composed it for the film.
That's cool.
So it goes with the picture as well, but on its own, it's
still
just,
cover.
Yeah. On its own, it's just a jazzy, funky instrumental. Easy Rider, kind of famous soundtrack.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it's got such a good Jimi Hendrix song. And then I brought it really for this Electric Prune song that I love. And then Pet Sematary by the Ramones. The Ramones, Dee Ramone, who like wrote a lot of the Ramones songs, was like, they were staying with Stephen King one night. Stephen King's a big Ramones fan. And he came to a show. I don't know where he lives. Some Maine or something. He came to a Ramones show. And then the Ramones stayed at Stephen King's mansion. And Dee was like up all night on drugs, couldn't sleep. and he found the Pet Sematary like screenplay and in Stephen King's house, and started reading it, and then got his guitar out of the trailer and started like playing guitar, and he wrote a song called Pet Sematary about the movie. And then the next morning at breakfast, like showed Stephen King and everyone in the Ramones, like, listen to what I wrote last night when I couldn't sleep, and like blew Stephen King away. And he's like, that's going in the movie. This movie is getting made and that's going in it. And it's like I think it's when the credits roll in the movie.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a great story. I love like tidbits like that. Like finding out like how a song got made. That's a good one. Yeah. What do you got? What did you end up bringing?
I brought one that Mr. Tony brought me. West Side Story, which is like my favorite movie musical. It's my first movie that I can remember as a childhood, obviously because it has to do with Puerto Ricans. It's the Romeo and Juliet version of Puerto Ricans when they moved to New York. I constantly sing songs till this day from this. Every time I say something about Puerto Rico, I'm always like, I like to live it. Or even when I say something about America, I'm like, I like to live in America. So West Side Story brings amazing memories to me. The first time I saw it was when we lived in Panama again. And that was the first time I saw it. And I fell in love with the movie. And I watched it 100 times till this day. And the second one is Grease, the first one. I actually got this recently. We went to Boulder, Colorado. We went to a really cool shop. What's the name of the shop? I have a bag from it. Let's give them a cool shout out. Hold on. Paradise Found. No, what is it? Paradise Found Records and Music in Boulder, Colorado. It was a random shop that we ran into, and they had a really good selection of music, believe it or not. And they had a really, and I regret not getting the Little Mermaid soundtrack because they had it there. So I regret not getting it. But I did get Grease and
White Buffalo.
I still sing the songs from Grease. Grease is one of my first movies that I learned English with. Me and my mom have great memories. And actually, believe it or not, the reason why I found out I was a singer or anything like that was in fifth grade, my fifth grade music teacher had us pick our favorite songs and we had to sing it. And I chose one of the... what song is it that I chose from here? I chose... Hopelessly Devoted to You from Olivia Newton-John. And my fifth grade teacher was like, wow, you can sing. And she put me in the choir for Virginia. Virginia does this musical choir where they choose one specific child from a county, from each county in Virginia to do to form a choir once a year. And so I was specifically chosen for our county because my teacher recommended me Miss Cool. Her name was Miss Coolie, Miss Coolio. So I'm gonna give her a shout out. Miss I don't know Coolio? Where she's at, Miss Coolio. Yeah, I know. That was my music teacher in fifth grade. And so I had it when I saw it. I was like, I had to get it. So and it's a great soundtrack.
That's awesome. But I can't help but now imagine a bunch of like, you know, like elementary school choir kids singing Gangsta's Paradise by their instructor, Miss Coolio.
We actually sang, no, that was Miss Cool, but for the choir that I told you that I was chosen to, we actually sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is a soundtrack song from Wizard of Oz. So and I think well that, with the theme.
And I think that's the cool thing about this theme is that you realize a lot of songs that were really big and popular that came from soundtracks, but were so big they kind of like eclipsed the movie themselves sometimes.
I know this is corny, but I should mention it. I got this soundtrack signed by John Olivia.
I'm so jealous.
Damn.
It's at the shop. I'll show you next time.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Freddie, what'd you end up bringing?
For me, I brought, in my opinion, and if I may be mistaken, but I think this is the best-selling soundtrack of all time, Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, for sure. And that's the movie I was trying to think of. Yeah. Because that one's got like the biggest. Yeah. It's got a shit ton of. Is it all Bee Gees, if I'm mistaken?
It's mostly Bee Gees.
Yeah. John Travolta again. John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing it. He's going to be killing it tonight. Yeah. He's going to be killing it.
And of course, like we said earlier, I brought Scarface, which is one of my favorite movies.
What's your standout track on that?
He just puts the record on and
for me
ride,
it was because whoever played Vice City back in the day, a
come
lot
on
of the
man
songs
come
on
this
album
yeah
featured in that video game, so it was like double the what's the word I'm looking for nostalgia because of the Grand Theft Auto Vice City as well as the movie
before. So before I saw the movie I played Vice City because my dad was like, "You guys are not watching Scarface," but somehow let us play Vice City, and that was how like I channeled like my Scarface, you know, like needs, you know.
It's like you cannot watch Scarface, but you can
play shoot the game. Cops yeah. You play the game directly inspired by Scarface. Yeah. And what was that third? What was the third album?
So I was stuck between the Curtis Mayfield Superfly joint and the Isaac Hayes Truck Turner.
Ooh.
But I think I'm gonna go with Isaac Hayes because I feel like this one's less popular.
Mm.
And this, I listen to this album when I'm just like at home smoking hookahs. So it's a cool little, you know, Isaac Hayes is sexy.
Come on, yeah.
He always makes the sexy vibes. So I'm gonna go with the Truck Turner joint.
All right.
As I haven't seen this movie, I have no idea what it's.
Freddie, I was just about to say, I love some blaxploitation films, soundtracks at that, but I've probably seen a handful. Like, I know I have not watched a majority of the movies most of my collection is based off of, but.
But a lot of the times, especially back then, they knew the movie was
questionable.
Going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they would get an artist to make a soundtrack for it to popularize the action movie coming out.
Yep. And we got some great ones out of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, you brought a special one, man. Like one that means something to you a lot. Which one did you bring tonight?
So I brought the Black Panther album, the vinyl, and that was my first record that I bought at your store.
Oh, cool!
So thank you very much. James.
Hey, thank you.
You got him in the club. Honestly, you got him into this very lethal hobby.
Yes, yes, yes. My pockets, I weep for them. But no, I love the album. The album is fantastic. And when I first started to think of vinyl and things that I could just set and just let it play, like I obviously thought of Black Panther, like the album. So I wanted to bring that, and honestly I didn't even know if I would have time to play it, so I was like, yeah,
we you can because I bought two, so you could be
we gonna make it happen.
Perfect. So I mean, it's a great album. The one that I wanted to play is King's Dead. That's my like one of the, you know, my favorite tracks on it. And so yeah, not that
Lottie, daddy,
yeah, that's right.
Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
All right, the three that I brought. So the first record is Willie Hutch's The Mac. So the score. Well, actually, it's actually an alternate score to the movie The Mac from 1973. They reissued the score with Willie Hutch in 1978. At that time, he was working with Motown Records. So that's my first album. The second one I brought is a more newer one or more contemporary one, and that is the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, Awesome Mix Volume 1. You know, it's the songs that are featured in Star-Lord's mixtape in the film. I ended up learning that it reached number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 charts, becoming the first soundtrack album in history consisting entirely of previously released songs to top the chart. And it was like the second best-selling soundtrack of that year, so 2014, right behind Frozen. So Frozen got to beat out. But I picked that one because I picked the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack because I remember, the Guardians of the Galaxy is one of the best, I think, MCU films, period. I think it's definitely in my top five. And a big part of that has to deal, I mean, not a big part because the movie's excellent on its own, but their attention to crafting a solid soundtrack really separated from the rest of the Marvel movies. Because prior to that, I don't know if they were using a lot of like actual, you know, pop culture and music to that extent. But I remember when that movie came out, not only were people really impressed by the movie, but a comic, you know, of fans who were only watching these movies because of, you know, their love of comic books and seeing these films. A lot of my friends who weren't really big into music at all, which might be hard for a lot of us to hear considering, you know, the audience. But I had friends that were like, I went out and bought the album, and I haven't bought an album in the last 10, 15 years, but I wanted the soundtrack. I thought the soundtrack was perfect. And it's one of those, it's one of like the first, like, soundtracks that I've bought recently. Like I've spent a lot of time buying like old 70s soundtracks, but I had to get that one in vinyl, and it's still one of my favorites because it introduced me to so much different music that I don't think I would have seeked out myself. And I think that's the power of like a good soundtrack at times too.
You know who has a good soundtrack also that's mixed with songs and originals, but mixed with Almost Famous? I was talking about that earlier. If you guys haven't seen that movie, it's a good movie, but they do a twist to a couple of Beatles songs and they do a twist to a couple of Jimi Hendrix songs. It's a really great soundtrack album. And yes, okay. I'm going to give it an honorary mention.
Okay. No, that's a good one. So I brought that. And then the last album I brought, which kind of ties into the MCU in a weird way, if I'm staying on brand, but it's Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man. And this is Marvin Gaye's only soundtrack and film score that he did, as well as it being the first written and solely produced album by him. He only did that one other time later in his career, in his In Our Lifetime album. But this was the album right after, you know, his for some, his magnus opus, What's Going On. And he wanted to go from, you know, he was very politically heavy in What's Going On. So this was the album that he wanted to kind of shift to more, be a little more contemporary, lean into like the blues and the jazzy stuff. So he wanted this to like be a big deal. And I think it like was met with a pretty okay reception. But for me, it's got some of the smoothest production ever. And the way like he just kind of plays with his voice on some of the songs I'll be playing later, it's fantastic. And fun fact, it is the movie that Sam Wilson, the Falcon, recommends to Steve Rogers, Captain America, in Captain America Winter Soldier.
He's only like, left.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you got to listen to this album. Granted, it's still a mystery to me why he would recommend Trouble Man out of all of Marvin Gaye's discography, but it is what it is. So those are the three albums I brought. And I think we're getting ready to wrap up this episode and get to actually playing some of this music. But before we do, we've got a special giveaway that we want to announce. Our first giveaway, and maybe one of many, but it's in large parts thanks to James here. And all of you guys are looking at me like, what, butter, what? I probably should have mentioned this prior to hitting record. But we're going to be giving away a $50 Tiger Records gift card, and we're going to keep it very simple. As I like to say in the outro, we're a very young podcast, so reviews help us grow, and we need that attention. So we'll make this very easy. We'll do a raffle. To enter in the raffle for this gift card giveaway, all you got to do is leave a positive rating and review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts or really any other podcast app like Podchaser, et cetera, et cetera. Take a screenshot of your rating and review and send us proof via DM to our Instagram account at NextSpin, and you'll be entered in that raffle to win that gift card. Submissions will be taken for, we'll say, about 2 weeks after this episode airs. We'll have a lot of information on the actual Instagram and when we'll announce the winner. But that'll be for a $50 Tiger Records gift card.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I participate?
No, look, I'm gonna have the filter on all of our names. So it's going to be like Yaya Love 1904. Yeah. Isn't it? It's like, Yaya, you can't do this. Yeah. But anyways, James, thank you so much for being kind.
That's awesome, James. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And all that, but thank you for being a guest on the show this month, as well as a guest for this month's meetup. With that being said, next month we're doing it. It's Freddie's turn to pick the theme. Freddie, you've got some sort of ideas about what the next theme is. Do you want to share those, or do you want to work on that and leave it as a surprise?
I'm still carving out the details. So
okay,
they gotta stay tuned.
There you go. They gotta tune back in. Well, with that being said, there you have it, Spinheads. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to follow the Next Spin Instagram for photos from this meetup, as well as our weekly top 5 playlist. That's it for our show today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share it with a fellow music lover. We're a young pod, and we need all the help we can to spread the word. It's a small thing to ask, but it would mean the world to us, and you might be able to win that gift card. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Go spend some money at Tiger Records and come back next month for the next spin. Peace and good tunes.